Me okay? I'll keep talking. That's good. Yeah, that sounds like better. I when I was reading this story of Abraham, I was wondering, did Abraham have to apply for a visa? Because that's been very much on our heart. Just so those who have been praying for us, we have an interim temporary visa, which means that this Sunday isn't our last Sunday. So we're still in a process of visa stuff, but it's taking a while. But we got an interim temporary visa that will last until they sort out the process anyway. So that's my good thing to share this week. So it's really good to celebrate. But this story has profound significance for me. I don't know about you, but it's certainly a meaningful story for me. And it has been for some time. Although my experience was rather different than Abraham's. Abraham had the calling first and then an experience of a vision of the stars. Mine was the other way around. I had an experience of the stars and then a calling, particularly in relation to being here in this country. In 2016, we were invited over by Caleb and Billy, who most of you will know, or many of you will know, and they were being ordained priests. At that time, and also Phoebe, their first child, was being baptized. And so they said, would we come over for the baptism or we come for the ordination? The only hitch in this was that my dad was dying, and we knew that probably if we went, that actually would probably take place whilst we were over here in New Zealand. And so we came over, and it was a really blessed baptism of Phoebe. And then traveling down, we came down to just the foot of Taranaki, and we stayed in a motel on our journey down towards the ordination. And in this particular place, which was at the foot of the mountain, we all shared a room, so it's Caleb and Billy, Pixie and I, and Phoebe, all in this room to save some money. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call, and I knew pretty much what that was going to be. So I grabbed my phone and dashed out of the room so that the others wouldn't wake up and took this phone call 2 a.m. in the car park outside this motel. And my brother informed me that our dad had passed away. And we talked for a little while on the phone and prayed. And then I hung up and to kind of regrouped myself. And then I thought, why is it so light at 2 o'clock in the morning? It just was suddenly dawned on me that it was so light. And then I looked up, and the Milky Way was just in full display right over the top. It was absolutely stunning. And the light of the stars and the light of the moon was shining on the mountain, which was covered with snow. And it felt like just that moment God said, you know, in this moment of grief, David, I'm going to bless you with this vision, this sight. I'm going to nourish your soul. And whilst you're looking at the stars, you will know that I am here with you, but I'm also with your father and your brother on the other side of the world. It was a very special moment, a sad moment, but a very special moment. I went back into the room, and of course everybody was awake, except Phoebe, I think, and I said, yes, it's true, my dad has died. But I said, guys, you need to come outside for a minute. And so all of us in our pajamas stood out in this car park and just looked up and drank in this incredible scene. And we were all nourished. And then we went on to the ordination. And those of you who know Bishop Justin will know that you can get a shoulder tap quite easily from Bishop Justin. And I was involved in helping with the ordination retreat and speaking at it. And Justin came up and said, why don't you come over to Macedonia and help us? That's a quote from Acts, just in case you didn't know. And spend a season here with your grandchildren and also minister with us. And he dropped a seed in that actually took a while to germinate, because we were ministering in a church in the UK and hadn't been there that long. And I felt that it would be not right just to uproot and go, but actually it was a seed. And after a while, that seed started to germinate. And as it did, this particular text was the text that really nailed it for me. I was doing some study and research on the on Genesis, on the characters in the family from Abraham right the way through. And these verses, which came out in a particular translation, Robert Alter's translation, hit me quite hard, which was this. In this moment, you've got to remember, in this moment of processing grief, and in this moment of a tap on the shoulder to say, come over to Macedonia and help us, these words where the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your land and your birthplace and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And we knew that this was going to be a season and not permanently, because we have family in the UK too. And the Lord was saying, you know, it didn't give us how long. We don't know how long that's going to be. But we knew certainly, and hope it's not this short. but we knew that God was calling us, and that was a moment for us to respond. And so all our personal belongings condensed into one small container, and we decided, the Lord said, you need to uproot and be swift of foot. And so we came, and our starting point, of course, was come down to Wellington and serve in the cathedral. And now we are deeply, deeply thankful that God has led us to this, to you, as a really lovely community. And we thank God for that. So my daughter, or one of my daughters, we've got two who are in the UK, actually produced for me this. It's going to be hard for you to see, I think, but you'll see it's like a... It says on here, the stars above Mount Taranaki, New Zealand, when I found treasure in a dark place. 21st of November 2016, which sits in one of our rooms and reminds me of God's faithfulness, God's blessing, and God's calling to us. So you can see this text has a deep significance for us. So that's the first person it has a deep significance for that I want to mention. The second person that it has a deep significance for is Abraham. And as you look at this, this is a moment where Abraham has a calling. And he has an experience which comes in Genesis 15 of the stars, and God blesses him, says, look at the stars, I will bless you with the offspring, and so on. But here is his calling to uproot and to begin on a journey, and it's a profound story for Abraham. Because Abraham, as you'll see in many examples in the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarai, or Abram as he's called then, and Sarai, are in a moment of barrenness. Both in terms of longing for a child, but also in terms of where they are in life. And God takes people in a moment of barrenness and leads them into a place of newness. This is a wonderful thing about God, that he takes us on a journey. It is not an easy journey, because it's a journey that you have to let go of some things in order to move into that space of newness. And it's a risk. Taking journey. Certainly for Abraham, it's a risk-taking journey. He's called out of a place of security, out of a place of, in a sense, mediocrity, out of a place of contentment, out of a place that he knows where he is amongst his offspring. The whole story starts in Genesis 11 with a genealogy. This is your roots. You know, this is the roots. This is how you've grown. This is how you've your sense of security. But now, Abraham, I'm calling you into something new. I'm calling you, Abraham, or Abraham, to go forth from your land and your birthplace and your father's house to the land, to a land that I will show you. And then with that comes promise. So you have to take your step and trust out of the barrenness into newness, trusting in promise. Because promises, God's promise is always good for you. You know, I think sometimes we have felt in our own journey, if I follow God, it's not going to be very good. You know, he's going to take things away. Yeah, I used to say to one of my sons, you know, jokingly, you know, be careful as you listen to God, because he'll call you to Outer Mongolia. He's just gone to Outer Mongolia. So I wonder if he remembers that, because... and blames me, but they traveled this week, and they've just arrived in Hoft, which is right out in the east of Mongolia, of Mongolia, and in a city there, and they've gone, and they've uprooted. Amazing. amazing. So in here, in this story, it tells us, actually, there's a phrase in the Hebrew that says, so he pulled up his stakes to go to the high country. And there's this symbolism, this picture, this refrain, pulled up his stakes, so you won't see it in English translations because it's often translated, they moved their tents or whatever. But I love the phrase, he pulled up his stakes, because the stakes are the things that hold you down. There you are, you get those stakes in the ground, now you know you've got there. But God says, Abraham, it's time to pull up your stakes. You've got to move, because I'm a God who moves. Up come those stakes. He pulls up his stakes and he goes on that journey. And we're all of us are on a journey. And maybe Abraham's story is actually not just because he's got a nomadic life, but actually it's a symbol of your and my journey of discipleship, isn't it? Are you in a place of contentment? Are you in a place of security? Are you in a place of barrenness? And the Lord comes and he says, it's time. It's time to pull up the stakes and trust me and begin to live a life that is more risk, is following me. And on that journey that Abraham goes on, he has to learn a number of things. We've been thinking about these themes of what is God like as we're reflecting on our story. God is love. God is a healer. We reflect on God is just and God is grace. So Abraham has to learn those things about God in his walk with him. And particularly, he learns that God is relational. That God is interested in him and the detail of his journey. God hasn't missed anything. Right the way through, even to Genesis 22, which is when there's an apparent call to sacrifice his son Isaac. God is interested in the detail because he's taking Abraham on a journey that is interested in his whole life to a point of actually saying, I will trust you with everything. And he calls us on that journey in different ways ourselves. And Abraham has to learn that God is a God of grace. Even in his dysfunctional family. Because we tend to think of Abraham. And, you know, often we call Abraham, Isaac, Jacob as the patriarchs, the founders of the faith, as it were. But if you take a look at their lives, it's a mess. Twice Abraham pretends that Sarah isn't his wife. And what a mess they get into. But then there's the trying to manipulate and trying to work out a different way of having a son because it doesn't seem like Sarah is going to give birth. And so we have this whole episode, if you want to read it, you can see it, about Hagar. But then, when Isaac is born, you then see more dysfunctionality in Isaac and his family. So there's parents who show favoritism to their kids. And there's deceit, there's jealousy, there's lying, there's cheating out of the inheritance, there's greed. And yet the calling of God and the promise holds in the midst of all of that. And you see that probably more succinctly, not so much, well, you do see it with Abraham, but for me, more pertinently, with Jacob. When Jacob cheats out of the inheritance and heads off because Esau is swearing to kill him, Jacob runs out and ends up in the wild. He's trying to get to his uncle's and he's out in the middle of the wilderness, a place called Lutz, and he has this vision of a stairway or a ladder or a stairway that angels ascending and descending. And then God is at the top, and God says to Jacob, who has been on the run, who's been a cheat and a deceiver, God says to Jacob, I am going to bless you, and I'm going to give you land, and I'm going to give you promise, and I've got a future for you. And yet Jacob has been a cheat. And it just reminds us that it's not about what we achieve or what we do. It's not an excuse to do wrong things, by the way. But it reminds us that even when we do fail, God's promise holds. And God's promise will hold for you. So if you look back in your own journey of life and you feel, I really screwed up, not just once, not just twice, not just three times, multiple times I've screwed up. The story that we're looking at today and the overarching story reminds us that if you screwed up, God's promise holds because it's dependent on God and not on you. So Abraham learns that, and he has to learn this journey of faith and trust and grace. It's not about management and manipulation. It is about grace and God's promise. So this story is significant for me because of my own personal journey. This story is significant for Abraham because of his personal journey and encounter with God. But this story is significant for another too. And this story is significant for Yahweh, for the Lord himself, because this is a pivotal point in the Old Testament, early on in the Old Testament, that signifies that Yahweh is interested in building community. And what will help us to make sense of this story is, as I've reminded people as before we launched this series, Ephesians 1 verse 10, where it tells us God's secret plan is this: to draw all things together under one head, which is Christ. So God is interested in that. And that is that journey. Remember I was talking about Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, Act 4, the five acts that go through this overarching story where God constantly is building and drawing and building relationships, drawing community, so that ultimately at the end, he will accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And this is a pivotal point. Because up until this point, it's been general, but now it's specific. It's Abraham. And so it's a person, and it's a community he's beginning to establish. Through this dysfunctional family, the promise will hold and will lead out so that eventually, through Joseph, they will end up in Egypt. And then we know they find themselves as a Pharaoh, enslaved in Egypt. And then we'll find that God has not forgotten them and will liberate them and lead them into the wilderness and form a covenant relationship with them in the wilderness. God is on the move. And this is a significant part of that journey. God is homing in on this couple. And he's homing in on their barren existence, and he gives them a promise that they don't think is going to be fulfilled. Because it goes on for years. We're talking years and years and years, the longing for a child, and then the blessing, and then the testing. And this is our journey. But it's not an exclusive promise for just Abraham and his Fano. It is a promise that goes far bigger than that, and that's why this is significant for God, for Yahweh. Because for Abraham, he thinks, well, I'm blessed in this calling. But you'll remember in the text, it says that you will be a blessing, and through you, all nations will be blessed. So this is going to travel down through the generations. Why? Because this is part of God's overarching purpose, that he's calling the tenants in the vineyard to respond to him with faithfulness. And he's drawing them together. And as we know in the tenants in the vineyard story, the tenants reject the owner. Will we? This is the two stories. God's calling, God's plan, God's purpose. As we launch into this and we begin this journey, you'll see these the decor that Odia's done, which is about the calling of the people of God into community. And we're moving into Exodus, of course, so you'll see the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire outside there in the atrium. But this is the calling, but not just for the people in Exodus, it is the calling for you and for me too. It starts with a small family and builds into community, out of barrenness and enslavement, into the wilderness, but through promise, into grace, and into freedom, and into life. God is on the move. So where does that leave you and me? Because this is a special story for me, It's a special story for Abraham. It's a special story for Yahweh. But it is a story also for you. Where is your place of barrenness? And can you hear God's call to you? It doesn't necessarily mean to Outer Mongolia, but it does mean to somewhere. It may not mean geographically, but he's always wanted to take you somewhere to move you from complacency and barrenness and mediocrity into life. But you will never know that promise fulfilled unless you follow. I used to say when I was talking to students about giving your life to Christ, they're just the image of when you walk towards into a supermarket, you have those doors, you know, and you can stand there and say, there's no handle on these doors. Why is there no handle on these doors? How can I get in? Well, you have to walk towards the doors. And when you walk towards the doors, they open, hopefully, so you don't get a sore nose. But you have to take those steps. You have to be moving in order for those doors to open. The other illustration I used to use is the image of a boy standing on the edge of a pool of ice. And he longs to go skating. And he has a stick with which he's testing the edge of the ice to see if it's strong enough to take him if he goes skating. But he will never know unless he gets on the ice and begins. But the joy of this illustration is this, that there are a lot of people out there skating already. And on this day, this week, which is All Saints Week, we often remember, and we'll be acknowledging All Saints next Sunday with our children coming in. But in this week, when we remember All Saints all the way down through the generations, right the way back to Abraham, there have been people stepping on the ice and skating and saying, the promise holds true. So how about you? Out of barrenness into life, out of complacency into newness, out of mediocrity into adventure. Let's pause for a moment, and I'm just going to ask us to be silent and say to God in your heart, God, what are you calling me out of and into? And just listen to God's voice to you. We'll do that now. Just as we were praying earlier, we had a picture of the finger of God coming down on certain people. And there were those particularly who were anxious. And when the finger of God came down on the heart of someone who was anxious, the result was peace. And then there were others who were sad. When the finger of God came down on those people who were sad, there was joy. This is not superficial, this is promise. God promises peace, and he promises joy. So if that's for you, rest in it. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe your breath upon us, that we may live. Lead us out of barrenness into fruitfulness. Lead us into this adventure. Where we let go and we take hold of you. We thank you for your calling upon Abraham, upon ourselves, and upon all your people that you're gathering together that will go on for all eternity. And Lord, we say to you, we love you, and we trust you in this journey. Amen.